Morning. What kind of Christmas have you had? How has Christmas affected you this year? Was it a matter of too much food or drink? Or was it too much family? We had a full house yesterday, but it was great. Or do you find it just a bit too much altogether? How should Christmas really affect us? Well, I want to turn to the first celebrants of Christmas to see how they were affected, how we too should be affected. We're going to look at the account of the shepherds in Luke's Gospel. You would have heard this probably two or three times at least over the past couple of weeks. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. You'll find it in page 1027 and 8 in your church Bibles. Beginning of verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him, concerning what they'd been told about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, we've looked at the account of Jesus' birth and the facts surrounding it, but I want to look at the effect of it on the hearts and lives of the shepherds and ours too. Three things happened to the shepherds. They, first of all, heard the good news, and that affected them. Then they saw the good news, and again they were affected, such that they then began to spread the good news, tell the good news to others. They were affected by the good news. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. This wasn't just good news in terms of its content, but also in its delivery. Heaven sent good news. It was heralded by angels. So the first effect must have been a mixture of fear or expectation. And fear, because we're told, aren't we? The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, in those days, if people came into the presence of God, there was only one outcome. Dead. So it's natural they were afraid when the glory of God shone around them. But then came assurance. But the angel said to them, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then came divine reinforcement. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So fear turned to awe and expectation. And such a real sense of immense privilege that mere shepherds should be in the company of angels. So they were filled with awe, with wonder. How does Christmas affect you today? When you consider that heaven's only Son came down to earth, to this sinful world. And it hasn't changed, has it? It's still a sinful world. But he came into this earth to be born in a feeding trough, in a humble stable, to a lowly couple. Such humility, unrelenting humility, coming down to such a place, first of all, as this earth, and then to such a place as a stable. God's holy Son. Doesn't that fill you with awe and wonder? If it doesn't, it may be that you have never really known what Christmas is all about. About 1978, I think it was, I went to one of the OM ships. OM is a Christian organization called Operation Mobilization, and they have ships that go to different countries to offer literature and tell people about Jesus. And I went along to one of those ships, and George Verve was speaking, and he told this story. It's always stuck in my memory. A love story. Young man, totally besotted by a young lady. And he wanted to show her in no uncertain terms how much she meant to him. So he decided to go and purchase an engagement ring. He went to several jewelers, and then he went to one particular jeweler. And right in the center of the window was displayed this wonderful, beautiful ring. And he thought, that's the one for her. He saw the jeweler and tried to negotiate the price and realized this was going to cost him everything. All he'd ever saved. But she was worth it. So he bought the ring. And the jeweler said, this is a beautiful ring, but it needs, you know, a really nice box to go for it, a presentation box. So he sorted out this lovely box, really leather-bound box with a beautiful velvet interior. And there he placed the ring, gave it to the guy. And he duly went to the girl and wanted to show her how much she meant to him and presented the ring in the box. She was overwhelmed, really, really pleased, and took hold of this box and thought, wow, isn't this beautiful? Leather-bound, beautiful velvet interior. And she just couldn't stop thanking him and fumbled this box. And as she did, the ring fell out and went out of sight. And sometimes, you know, we treat Christmas like that. We treat even church like that. It's like a box that's really attractive. But Christmas isn't about these things, is it? It's all about Jesus. It's about the precious gift of God. And we mustn't lose sight of that. And when we come to church, beautiful as this building is, it speaks of Jesus. And it points us to him. And so if you come today to enjoy a church service without encountering Jesus, you're missing out. This place is about Jesus too. So these guys went along and saw Jesus. They decided to do something about what they'd heard. They heard the good news, then they saw it. Let's go, it says verse 15, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. You know, the good news of Jesus always elicits a response. You can't just hear about Jesus. That was never the intention, that you just hear about Jesus. You know, the core verse in the Bible is John 3:16. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's telling us about Jesus. And then it goes on, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's taking us to him. That was always God's intention, that you shouldn't just hear about Jesus, but come to see him for yourself. Encounter him for yourself. And you can't embrace all the what God can do for you unless you embrace his Son first. Everything that God offers is wrapped up in Jesus, if you like. It's not the other way around. So the shepherds went to Bethlehem to see this good news, and they weren't disappointed. Now, you may have heard the good news about Jesus yourself, but as I said earlier, what have you done about seeking him for yourself, the second half of that promise of John 3:16. The shepherds had to go to Bethlehem, to a stable, to find Jesus. Where do you find Jesus today? Well, then he was born to a lonely couple, a godly, believing couple. And the situation hasn't changed. Wherever there are people who believe in Jesus, there he is with them. That's a promise of his. Wherever two or three gather in my name, there am I in the midst. So you can find Jesus right here, believe it or not. Not just in the atmosphere, but in the people. And alongside the people of God. You can find Jesus by coming to this church. Or other churches where believers gather. Or in the presence and in the life of a believing friend. Getting alongside them. And seeking to see Jesus in their life. And in their experience as well. He can still be found to every earnest seeker. Going back to our passage, verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. What they heard about, they now saw. What they saw melted their hearts and really brought them to their knees. And that's what happens when people see Jesus for the first time. And that's what should happen every time people come into the presence of Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a baby cradled by a Mary, but the author of life, making himself vulnerable. The shepherds saw what the songwriter actually put to words, one of the songs we sing, meekness and majesty. Manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility. Oh, what a mystery. Meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. Hey, this is your God. The shepherds only saw his coming. We see the consequence of his coming. We see Easter, don't we? He not only took on humanity, but took our sin on himself on a cross. And with such hindsight, how much more should our hearts be melted and our knees bowed before him? Are you aware of his presence right now? We've sung of it. Tim's reminded us time and again this morning that where two or three gather, there he is. He's here by his Spirit. In your heart, are you down on your knees before him? I need to be. We need to be this morning. That's how Christmas should affect us. The shepherds heard the good news, they saw the good news, and finally they spread the good news. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And when they had seen him, verse 17 again, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. They knew beyond doubt that they'd been witnesses to divine activity and a holy birth. And that just so moved them in worship, but in witness as well. They went and told everybody they could come across about this thing that had happened to them. That's how Christmas affected the shepherds, who were the first believers in Jesus. And, you know, putting it simply, affected believers become effective witnesses. How spontaneous is your witnessing these days? Your answer will be the way you answer this, my second question. How passionate are you for Jesus and about Jesus? If you feel your passion has waned, can I suggest you raise it again? Do you know how to raise your passion? By leaning into the passion of Jesus for you. Drawing from his passion for you. Passionate about you. He can't get enough of you. He loves you. Lean into his love again. Remind yourself how much you mean to him. And ignite your passion for him again. Affected disciples make effective witnesses. Two guys who were well used of God over two centuries, John Wesley and on the left is D.L. Moody, and on the right is John Wesley. These are guys who are known to be worldwide evangelists. And they had a very disciplined lifestyle and ensured that they shared their faith with somebody nearly every day of their life. But it wasn't all that effective until each of these men, in their turn, were exposed to the truth of God's love. Not just in head knowledge, but actually experienced the love of God for themselves. They were, in the words of John Wesley, their hearts were strangely warmed. They were so aware of how much God loved them that even changed their message. They're no longer pointing at the sin and condemnation to people, but they spoke to people about the love of God. And that transformed their ministry. And it gave them worldwide recognition. And they remain part of church history today because they allowed themselves to be immersed in the love of God. You know, last week we were looking with Terry Virgo about the availability of the Holy Spirit to us, that we could be plunged into the power of God, liberating us for witness. But I believe before then, we need to be plunged into the love of God. Be immersed into the love of God again. It's a hymn that came to mind when I was thinking about this point. It's George Matheson's hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe. That in thy ocean depths, there's the love of God. In thy ocean depths, its flow may richer, fuller be." Do you want your life to be richer and fuller with capacity for others? That's where you find it. In the love of God, expressed in Jesus. And the shepherds were sold on Jesus. They had now good news to tell others as well. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They simply went everywhere telling everyone about Jesus, that God's favor had come to God's people. They weren't just witnesses of the incarnation. They became witnesses to it as well. And God's intent is that Christmas should have the same effect on our lives as well. I don't know where you are this morning apart from the fact that you're here. In your heart, I don't know where you are. Some of you may have yet to hear inwardly and respond to the love of God for the first time. And for you then, I'll use the words of the angel. I bring you good news of great joy. That today you can know something of God's love for yourself. That a Savior has been born to you. A Savior, that means someone who saves us from something. And that's something the Bible calls sin. And in our experience, it's rebellion. It's living our lives with almost a deliberate ignorance of God and finding it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And a sense of the need of reconciliation. Do you recognize your need to be brought near to God? Then Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is the one that can do this for you. And even today, you can know him in your life. You can experience actually what the shepherds experienced, a miraculous birth. But in your life, in your heart. That's how the birth of Christ happens now. In people's lives, in people's hearts. But it must come by invitation. You need to do this by choice. You need to actually choose for this to happen. Is that what you want? Do you want God in your life in no uncertain terms? Do you want to know the presence of God in your life and God surrounding you? Well, another name for Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us, God in us, God around us. And you can know this. But you need to ask for it. Now, we've used the words of a carol several times, and I'll unashamedly use them again because they're so, so appropriate for what happened at Christmas. The words of the last verse, actually, of Little Town of Bethlehem. These are the words of the actual carol. O child, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin. Be born, enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Now, if you make that verse, reshape it, if you like, and make it a prayer that sounds something like this. Jesus, Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. Oh, come to me, abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. As I said, I don't know where you are, but if you're at the place of saying, well, actually, that's what I want. Do you know, the one thing that people yearn for, and everybody, I mean everybody yearns for, is to be loved unconditionally. And that's what Jesus wants to give you. Unconditional love. The only condition is to acknowledge your need of him. And if you want to do that, using the words of this carol in the way I've suggested, let's just do that right now. Bow our heads. If you want to do this, echo this in your heart. That won't be the end of the message, but it'll be a real great start for somebody this morning. Pray these words. Jesus, Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to me, I pray. Cast out my sin and enter in. Be born in me today. Oh, come to me. Abide with me, my Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Now, if that is a prayer that you prayed, I would really encourage you to speak to me afterwards or to Tim, because we'd love to help you on the next step. For you to see more of Jesus, experience more of Jesus for yourself. Now, there are others of us here who have seen and heard the good news. They've even told the good news. But they're not as affected as they once were. You were very affected at one time. Your love for God had no capacity, no limit. Your love for others had no limit. Do you remember those early days when you were filled with awe, filled with wonder, had that sense of liberty and empowerment of God's presence in your life? You had total assurance and you couldn't help telling anyone who would listen, and sometimes those who wouldn't, about this wonderful Jesus. Do you remember those early days? What's happened? You know? What's happened? It was never intended to fizzle out. It was God's gift to you for the rest of your life. The liberty of being loved and then loving others as well. That's God's gift to you this Christmas. Be affected again. And then be infectious as you live your life amongst a needy world. There's a popular song, still is, I believe, "I wish it could be Christmas every day." Well, if Christmas is all about Jesus, guess what? It can be Christmas every day. Every day, people need to hear that they're loved by God. That there is a Savior. Be affected by Christmas like the shepherds who heard the good news. Then saw it, experienced it for themselves. And then told others about it. Shall we pray? Let me remind you again that God's love for you is passionate. It's unrelenting. Let it draw you in so you can willingly, gladly, joyfully be drawn out in good news telling as well. Well, thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that just opens your love out for us, Lord. It helps us to experience that love. Thank you that the fruit of your Spirit, first of all, is love. And Lord, we need you. Lord, we need to be affected again. Lord, we need to know that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you've just reminded us again, you've never stopped loving us. Now help us, Lord, to draw from that love, passion for you and for people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.